Sunday morning, January the 29th. We are recording tomorrow's podcast early because Purdy Mania has taken over Central Iowa. We will be locked in.
Those games are weird times because the AFC Championship won't get over till like 9.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah.
I get it, Burrow and Mahomes. To me, the NFC game is way more intriguing. Now, I know it's because of Brock, and I'm a little bit surprised that the AFC game isn't the early one, but I don't know. Maybe Mahomes just being there draws more people.
We'll see what gets them. Both those games will draw huge numbers, but yeah, I wonder what will get
be
rated.
Like 40 million.
40 million people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to do a quicker one today. Avoid the Purdy stuff. You can listen 8:30 tomorrow morning live on Iowa Everywhere. Hassel and I will be dissecting the NFL championship games, and we will also be doing another look at, if you're listening on Monday, tonight's game against Texas Tech, as there's just a lot going on this time of year with the one-day turnaround. We want to thank our sponsor, MechDyne, and the MechDyne Corporation. Check them out at MechDyne.com. How do you spell that? MechDyne.com. Phenomenal Iowa Staters, really good people. I'm probably not going to do this forever because you guys just wear me out. I'm kidding. I love y'all. But I always tell people if I didn't do this for a living, which this is what I love to do, I would absolutely, my first call would be to MechDyne because I know their company values and they've got jobs for, you don't have to be an engineer. You can be in sales. You can be in public relations. You can be in marketing. You can be an IT professional. MechDyne has jobs for everybody. They're located in Marshalltown. How are you, Brent Bloom?
I'm all right. Tough one for the men's basketball team, but honestly, I didn't lose much sleep over it. My opinion on games like that has changed immensely in the last 15 years since I've grown up, just slightly.
Just because you've chilled out and you understand
that,
things more?
You know what honestly really helps me is being a fan of the NBA.
Mm.
Because you lose a game like that in the NBA, it's like, yeah, well, that happens.
Yeah, and you play again.
And you play again the next
tomorrow night. Or
right, you've got a game the next, and Iowa State plays again on Monday. And I'm not saying Iowa State punted on that game. Certainly, Missouri brought way more effort and attitude and was just superb. But you just kind of learn with the number of games anymore that those things are going to happen. And it's not like if this happened, if I was 15 and this was the 2000 team and they got buried by 17 at Missouri, I wouldn't have slept for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But I've kind of like, you know what? I almost was waiting for that to happen, to have another game like they had in Iowa City.
Yeah, you're not going to be perfect every time out.
And it was a confluence of events that just kind of happened, and that's how you lose by 20 points on the road and turn the ball over a bunch, and Missouri shot it out of their mind. A lot of them were open shots, but it felt like to me, Chris, just from watching, again, back correlate to the NBA, there are games where you just don't have it, and you can tell kind of right away. And it appeared to me in the first 15 minutes, it's like I would say kind of knew, oh boy, this is
felt like it.
This
yeah.
is just going to be one of those days, and they happen. It doesn't mean it's the end of the season. I saw Jeff Goodman went on a little bit of a rant last night that, oh, is this the beginning of the end for Iowa State? I don't believe that at all. I still think Iowa State's a very good team and may even respond on Monday, but it just a lot of factors. Missouri made everything. Iowa State hadn't really seen a press like that, and it bothered them, and it just added up to a bad day.
Yeah, and I'll give Missouri credit, too. I didn't think that place would be full and crazy like it was. That was a really good atmosphere, much tougher than some of the Big 12 teams saw in the SEC Challenge.
Yes.
And so props to Missouri. They're clearly supporting and Dennis Gates' program.
The home teams did really well in that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still hard. And if you turn the ball over 18 times, 19 times, and the other team makes 14 out of 30 from three,
you're never going to win.
Good night. Yeah. You're just not winning that game.
Unless the other team is horrible and you dominate in some sort of anomaly, and that's not the case.
So the game was going to come down to who shot it better, and I would say actually shot it okay, and then who turned the ball over more, and it was 19 turnovers to 12 for Missouri, and that's the game right there. There's not much more that needs to be said, and kudos to Missouri and Dennis Gates for being ready to go, not having Caleb Gorelick. I think we learn now he provides just kind of that special sauce.
Yep.
You're not quite sure what all the time, but he just helps on both ends. And now you've seen it not only in this game, but in the game against Oklahoma State where he missed significant time. Teams are getting a lot better looks. I don't think it's a coincidence.
No, we've got three halves of basketball without Caleb Grill now where the other team goes off from three-point range.
Yes, and I would love that'd be an interesting for the basketball mind to really dig into why is that. Now, he's a good perimeter defender. Maybe it's just Trey King isn't used to guarding on the perimeter as much and the rotations get a little screwed up. But
boy, it'd be nice to have Jazz right now.
For sure. I mean, again, it's been a long 3 days for Rob. And I mean, he was so good for so long this season, including against really good teams. Villanova, North Carolina, even had some moments against some other good teams. And it's just, it's like
TCU, didn't he go like 5 for 6
yep.
or something?
Yeah. Yep. Like, so yeah. I'm not, it's like, it hasn't though been, it was not pretty again yesterday. It's been a bit of a struggle. So we'll see. I'm really anxious here in 7 to 10 days when Jazz comes back. What does that look like? At one point, Iowa State had Jones and Oshunee on the floor at the same time for really the first time all year. That was interesting. It didn't really work either.
Yeah, and I almost wonder at that point, like, you know, they made a little run midway through the second half where you're like, oh, maybe there's a chance here. But I almost wonder if it wasn't playing around with some rotations.
Oh, that's absolutely what it was.
I think he may have been doing that and just punting at that point.
I don't blame, because I had not seen Rob and Oshun play together.
Well, and I actually looked on KenPom at the time, and I couldn't find proof that they had played together.
I don't think they have. I don't remember it. So yeah. There was definitely some tinkering going on, which honestly, say what you want about the SEC Big 12 Challenge, if you're not going to win the game, to have a reset like that is okay.
Well, luckily, so there was good and bad about it. One, it's a quad one game, so
yeah, it doesn't hurt you at all.
It doesn't really hurt you that much.
Did they drop at all?
They did, and that was because the point differential. So they dropped to 18.
True. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, which was a more significant drop than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But I'm 99% sure it was because of the point differential.
Yeah.
If they would have lost that game by two,
it
wouldn't have even impacted them. The good thing is that you basically get to turn right around, and I mean, you got a million opportunities coming up.
The net rankings. Iowa State went down one.
Oh, so that's the one that really matters. I mean, KenPom is for geeks like us.
Correct.
KenPom, Iowa State is still projected to finish second in the Big 12 right now. They are currently a 1-point favorite at Texas. So that's the most, you know, that's the toughest thing where I would, you know, like would to defend a guy like Jeff Goodman. I didn't see his deal, but it's like everybody would look at this and be like, oh, well, you should beat Texas Tech on the road. They're in last place. Well, the metrics say that you're basically a pick 'em against this team.
Yep.
So it just goes to show how tough this is. And this is not just for Iowa State. So Kansas State was like a top weirdest thing I've ever seen. According to KenPom, Iowa State beat a top 5 team on Tuesday, and it was a quad 2 win. Seriously. Isn't that bizarre? So, like, if you're a Kansas State fan, like, you're looking at it, we're top 5 in the country right now, but they're projected to be 11-7. You just look at all these games, and I'm pointing them out because I consider them to be a lot like Iowa State as far as how I would categorize them, overperforming, their talent level, whatever. And all of these games, Brent, are, oh, okay, so your favorites at home over Texas and TCU by one.
Yeah.
By each of them. Oh, so you're an underdog to Oklahoma on the road by one. You're a favorite at Texas Tech by one. These are all coin toss type of games, and that's what makes it, like, could Iowa State go on a stretch where they drop 3 or 4 in a row like
absolutely.
They did? Absolutely, they could.
Kansas just happened to Kansas.
Thank you. So maybe this is that stretch. Maybe we're entering this point where it's like Grill's hurt. You still got Jazz out. You're trying to figure out rotations right now. It's possible, but still a very winnable game on Monday against the Texas Tech team that struggled, but ended up winning at LSU.
Right, and what I would say is, absolutely, I wish they could lose 3 or 4 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't surprise me one bit. I don't think that detracts how good this team is, though.
Me neither.
And so it's like that's why you got to balance.
Good point on Kansas, too.
You got to balance like, okay, yeah, you're going to lose some games because it is a really good conference. However, what you've done up to this point deserves merit too. Mm-hmm. And we saw last year, Iowa State go 7-11 in the Big 12 and makes the Sweet 16. And it was clearly better than Wisconsin and LSU.
And they already have 6 wins.
Yeah, in the Big 12. Iowa State, according to the net rankings, Iowa State dropped from 10 to 11. That is a solid 3 seed. And your metrics aren't going to get affected a whole lot as long as you hold serve even at home. So, this team still, to me, is it a top 5 team in the country? Probably not. But I think 10-11 is absolutely fair.
I don't think they're top 5. I think they're solid top 20.
But I watched a lot of basketball yesterday, all those games, and Bama's second in the country, gets buried in Norman.
They got beat by 30. Yeah,
you saw, just some weird stuff. And I don't know. Iowa State can match up with just about anybody still. The Tech game will be interesting because the Red Raiders did not have, the big fella got hurt again, AMAC, this week. So he missed the LSU game. And then Pop Isaacs, your guy,
that's my boy.
The RC Cola, Trey Young.
Yeah.
He's out too. So neither of them played, and they won by 8 against a very average LSU team. At least they won the game. I think that's a coin flip game. I absolutely agree. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. If Iowa State it's a tough place to play. I think Iowa State should be favored by 1, but it's not the end of the world if it loses either. I'm at this point, Chris, which is a weird thing to say. Yeah, I want to win the conference. But it's like you went out at home, you get a couple more road wins, you're locked into a 3 or 4 seed, and that would be incredible in the NCAA tournament. And then you're probably playing in Des Moines.
Let's talk about Caleb Grill here in just a moment. I want to thank our friends at Gravitate Coworking. Check them out at gravitatecoworking.com today. You can check out all of their great locations. What is coworking? Well, it's for people who you want to have, like, you don't have an actual office, like a commercial office, but you can pay to have a desk. You can pay to have an actual office. You can have a mailbox. You can have anything at downtown Des Moines, East Village Des Moines, Midtown Windsor Heights, Cedar Falls, and Jefferson. Go to gravitatecoworking.com and you can see the meeting spaces available at all of these great locations. I also want to thank our friends, Jeremy Danielson, Danielson Law. This is really cool. I like people who think outside the box. Clearly, we've done that over the years with Cyclone Fanatic and what we're doing right now with Iowa Everywhere, where you don't have to. So what is real estate law? Well, real estate law is there's all sorts of crap that goes into buying a house that idiots like me and Brent don't understand. That's why you hire a great Cyclone like my friend Jeremy Danielson. I've known Jeremy for over 10 years now, and he specializes this. And now you can do a thing where let's say you have closing documents, you're buying or selling a house, or really anywhere, and you need something notarized. That can be a real giant pain in the ass if you don't have like a notary in your office. You can do it online right now at danielsonlaw.com, or you can set up an appointment. Online notarization. Maybe you're like on vacation and, oh crap, something happened. I got to get something notarized. You could do it remotely. Genius. DanielsonLaw.com. DanielsonLaw.com. The grill situation. I haven't done enough work on this to know, and they're being pretty quiet, right? Mm-hmm. So I understand what's going on here. I almost wonder if he would have played if this game against Tech would have been a Wednesday game. But to me, like it's just funny like how fans work, because when we watched him go out of the game against Kansas State, my Twitter feed was flooded with people. Oh, he shouldn't be out there. We need to rest him up and have him for the Big 12 stretch. And then on Saturday, people are just bitching. Oh, our 3-point defense sucks so bad. Well, you know, he's actually a higher rated defender right now, metrics wise, than Gabe Kalscher is. So I guess my point is you can't have it both ways. I had somebody tweet at me and be like, what happened to next man in? Well, they're down 2 starters right now.
You run out of men.
Yeah, if you count Jeremiah Williams. And they are figuring it out. And like we covered in that first segment, it did feel like they were massaging some things. So I don't know. My gut tells me Grill will play on Monday, especially since I actually kind of like it because they bought him
5 days.
They bought him 5 days between Kansas State and Texas Tech. And then you get a whole other 5 in between Kansas. Like the schedule's actually beneficial to have that Missouri game there in the middle.
Right. And he is turned into one of the better defenders in the Big 12. And he's also been pretty efficient offensively. So it'd be nice to have him. He was really good against Tech in Ames as well. So I just think it just evens out the rotations, because it feels to me that Iowa State really struggles with that third ball handler sometimes, because Trey is just not really a guard. Trey King is just not really a guard.
No.
And so it puts too much on Holmes and Lipsy, and you saw it. You go against that pressure. Caleb could have been a pressure release on a lot of that stuff, and they didn't have him. And Holmes and Lipsy just had some issues where sometimes just dribbling the basketball. And they haven't really seen that at all this year. It was the most turnovers Iowa State has had in a game by far against Missouri. I think Grill, not only defensively, but then he's a ball mover on offense, and things just are better when he's on the floor, and that's a credit to him. So even if he's struggling, he has a awareness about the game on the offensive end. That was, again, why I would say it's worst offensive performance in a long time too. I don't think it's a coincidence. So having him back is key. However, would you rather have him back for late February and March, or these games at the end of January and February? And I think, I don't know what's going on. It's clearly a back issue, but what kind of back issue are we talking about here is the question. And, you know, if he could play, the good news for me is he did gut it out against K-State and played 25 hard minutes when he still wasn't feeling great. So if it's just a pain thing, maybe if you really need him, he'll be able to play. And that's why I think it was wise to just say, all right, this game is just it is what it is, and let's concentrate in the Big 12. Iowa State can legitimately win the Big 12. Like, even despite the result, that did not matter in the Big 12 standings, which is great.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a poor performance, have it then. Now you've got a huge week. You go 2-0 this week, CW, you are looking really good at the top of the Big 12 standings.
No doubt. Yeah, the Grill thing, it just feels like a situation where it's not like structural, he's going to keep making it worse. It's more, be religious about your treatments and make it feel better, and, you know, and you kind of play it off of that. But it's hard, because Caleb he's a 35, 40-minute per game guy now.
Yeah.
Who does all this stuff that it's kind of hard to just be like, oh, okay, Eli King, we're going to throw you in this role.
Yeah, right. Not at all. And Trey can't do that yet. Trey King can't do that yet.
I said Eli just as an example of another guard.
They don't have another guard.
No.
I mean, he can play 1 through 3, even the 4. And that's when you're already down Jazz and you're already down. Like, the one, if you had Jazz, it'd be different, because Jazz is a ball mover and a shooter, and he's a floor spacer. I would say just doesn't have that floor spacer with Trey King. He's not yet. And that's, not a coincidence that the Oklahoma State game in the second half and the entire Missouri game is as bad as Iowa State's been offensively.
Shout out to Iowa State women's basketball. Great win against Oklahoma.
Phenomenal.
One of the runniest games. Like, it'd be like, oh, Oklahoma's on a 7-0 run. Oh, Clone's 10-0 run. Oh, here's a 6-0 run.
Back and forth. The atmosphere was awesome.
Really cool.
Especially in a snowstorm in Ames.
Yeah.
And
it was fantastic. The whole Jenny Baranchek deal. She's pretty squirrely on the sidelines.
Well, and I think it was our friend Steph Copley said, is she the new Kim Mulkey? ? And while there are things that are definitely not Kim Mulkey, you know, off the floor, by all means, Jenny's a wonderful person. She's been in the community in Des Moines for a while.
Yeah, I worked with her when I was at KXNO.
I grew up watching. So she was a Dowling Catholic player.
So she was like your rival?
No, she was. She's like 4 years older than me. But we would get out of school. So I went to a parochial school, a Catholic school in West Des Moines, and we would get out of school to go watch Dowling at the state tournament. So I was a big Jenny Lillis fan back in the day, because it meant that I get half days.
Mm.
When they go to the state tournament, it was a big deal. You go down there, but no, it.
God, she was just really
it was
amped up. Yeah,
it was like really intense.
And it's kind of hypocritical for an Iowa State fan with Bill Finley.
No,
she got a little Riley in the post game, and I didn't really care for that, because it was towards my guy. So I got a little bit defensive.
Yeah, she got after Connor a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. She didn't really get after him, but it was more like
she was upset with the
pissed at the refs.
The
and
foul
projected
calls,
it onto everybody else.
I'm surprised she didn't get teed. There was a couple times like, man, she's trying to get one here.
I thought after the game, like, so I was watching on Cyclones TV. I wasn't there. But, like, I was with Matt Van Winkle, who works for us and whatever. And we had to, like, rewind it, because we thought she was, like, going after a ref after the game, but it, I don't know. We couldn't really tell.
Yeah.
I don't think she was. I think she was just mad. Speaking of that, did you see the Steve Prohm deal Tuesday night?
Yeah, he pulled a Fran. He chased the guy down a tunnel.
There, I mean, it was a wild.
What's going on?
Jeez.
What's up is down and down is up. It's a crazy world out there.
It's a bizarre deal. Yeah, the Baranchik deal, and I never had a problem with her, Drake. I don't have a problem with her now, but she doesn't. And granted, the only time I ever watch her at Oklahoma is when they're playing Iowa State. So I have to keep my own bias in mind here. And I'm a huge women's basketball fan of the Iowa State. So like this is for me. Well, of course, I'm
rooting against your family. Yeah,
I'm not going to like the Bears coach,
right?
You know, being a Vikings fan, but like her, it's very off-putting. Like the sideline, because like I would hate Finley too if I was a Kansas State fan. Like Finley would be Finley 10 years ago. Finley now is a kind of a different beast. But like, yeah, it just she's very angry on the sidelines.
Well, it's a little bit. And I agree. I don't think it's a male female thing. Like the Vic Schaefer at Texas, it's very similar. It's like, yeah, who are you? What are you?
I don't like
about?
Vic Schaefer.
Stop it.
Yeah.
And I understand. I think I don't know all of the story. I would guess if Jenny was not from Iowa and is from the middle of Oklahoma, it's a different story.
Yeah,
we know her
so
she's
well.
Been around, and it almost feels. And I don't. I again,
it feels
I don't
personal.
It
because
exactly,
we know
I
her.
Say that it feels personal, but it's
like,
not
what are
only
you
personal
doing
to
us, like
us
this?
But it's personal to her. Like, there's no doubt.
Yeah,
it would mean a great deal to the Baranchik Lillis family if she won a game at Hilton Coliseum.
Good point.
I don't know if she ever did at Drake. I don't think they did. I don't think they ever beat Iowa State in Ames. They beat Iowa State at the
Northern Iowa won in Ames once.
Yep.
Because I remember.
And I don't think Oklahoma under Jenny has won in Ames yet. It's like a home game, you know, feel for her. I'm sure there's extra intensity because what a big deal for her. She's a Hawkeye, for one.
Is she the next coach at Iowa?
I would guess that would be target number one.
Yeah.
I don't think Lisa Bluter's ready to hang it up anytime soon.
No, it kind of feels like DeBreeze is the next guy there.
That was always the rumor that Jenny was holding out until she got the Iowa job, and then it was clear that Lisa Bluter wasn't going anywhere. She's just like, well, now I got to go somewhere else. But I think, well, they may play in Hilton one more time. So you forget that Oklahoma's leaving in women's basketball, too. That's always been a really fun rivalry.
I didn't think about it like that. Yep. Yeah, like I said, I don't have anything personal against the woman. She was always very good to work with when I was at KXNO, but she's just very she's a lot but you know, Bill used to be that way. He's really kind of toned it down.
Like, I don't think he's gotten a T this year yet.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and he's even really toned it down when it comes to yelling at the players. Like he's kind of like in like grandpa stage. But I almost think he's a better coach because of it too. I don't know,
they've done a tremendous job with this team. I mean, Danae Fritz has gone from a role player to a really, really good player in like 2 weeks.
Tell me if I'm wrong. We were doing play-by-play. At least I still was. I don't know if you still were. When Ashley was a freshman.
Yes, I was.
I think Fritz is better than Ashley was as a freshman.
Okay.
I'm not saying she's going to have a better career. She's more consistent. Like Ashley would have those like 1-for-15 games. She's confident.
And she does everything well. Like, I've been impressed with her ability to put it on the floor, drive it, guard, rebound.
Because of Lexi and Emily and Ashley and Stephanie, I don't think people realize that this is a really freaking good freshman that's going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, and it's because she is a freshman.
Yeah.
She was here last year, but got a medical.
Correct.
I'm looking at the numbers now for Fritz. She's averaging in the last, so since the injury to Suarez, let me do the math real quick. She's averaging over 10 points per game and 5 rebounds a game. Like, she has been really, really good. If there's one player who's really, Jones stepped up immensely too. It's kind of cool. She has gone from, I don't want to say she deferred with Suarez there, but she kind of, to her credit, stepped back and say, all right, this is a new weapon. Let's see what we have with Stephanie in the post. This feels like the last 2 weeks vintage Ashley Jones.
I would agree.
Where she's like, you know what? This is my final 10 games. We're going out firing. And she is, anytime she's open, like yesterday, she scored 18 in the second quarter. It was as good a quarter I've seen a Cyclone have. And it was almost like, all right, one, my sister's on the other sideline. I want this. Yeah. This is going to keep us in first in the Big 12. And by the way, I'm still really freaking good. And I she showed it.
Well, she's
I mean, I think we're at the point where it's like, I don't want to do like a farewell Ashley Jones appreciation tour, but she deserves it for the numbers she's put up.
At least for today, both teams are tied for first in the Big 12.
So for the men, Iowa State has not been tied in the Big 12 this late in the season since 2001.
Wow.
And I think for the women, it's similar. They may have been tied at one point in like the in that Lacey Bolte.
Well, I don't know. I keep hearing people say, "Well, this is the same team as last year." Now that Suarez is out, I'm like, "No, it's not really," because you get Fritz and Kane is, you know, keeps getting better.
Like, she's been really good since the Suarez injury too.
Yeah, so that was a
big
fun
win.
Game.
Huge, and now they've got Wednesday night at K-State, so.
Trying to flex your muscles a little bit for the women.
I think again, Wendell's keep hold serve. The seasons are shaping up very similarly. Both have not lost to Hilton Coliseum. Hilton Coliseum on both ends has become retro Hilton Coliseum. It's really hard to win there, and I think the crowd yesterday for the women's game was phenomenal and had a big part of those runs for Iowa State.
All right. Speaking of Wednesday night, we will have the women's game on at the We Will Cyclone Fanatic event.
And that venue is way cooler than I thought it was.
It's way classier than anything I should be in at Toast in Ankeny. We had a little meeting last week. We will have the pay-per-view option.
It's coming. Yep.
We will have the pay-per-view option. Bloom's got to get the thing built as far as the Eventbrite goes. It will be affordable. For those of you who are already We Will donors and who are Cyclone Fanatic premium members,
We Will Club.
We Will Club. Yes.
Subscribers. It's a little bit different.
Yeah. So that combination, you're going to get the pay per view. Other people who want to listen, or not listen, but to watch, you are welcome to purchase it. We will have it for what? How much are you going to put it up?
$25.
Okay. So what we're going to do is. Matt Van Winkle is a super talented videographer, is going to tape it and then do some editing. So that way there's not all this dead time for people who have to watch it. And we will send out a private link to people who purchase it. And all that money goes to We Will. And it'll feature interviews with Matt Campbell, Nate Shielhaus, John Haycock, Derek Hudger, who's the recruiting director. And then I've got some stuff from Bill Fennelly and TJ Otzelberger as well. So am I missing anything? I'm trying to think of, but it's completely sold out at this point.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm almost nervous. I hope hopefully people realize this is our first go around with an event like this, but I got some good stuff in the mail this week from some former Iowa State players, so the auction itself is going to be worth the price of admission.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I need to bring some money for this auction. I love memorabilia.
If you're coming to the event, if just honestly a kind of a public service announcement, if you could bring your checkbook, that would be super helpful.
As opposed to like Venmo?
Well, we can run a credit card, but honestly, like I'm learning I don't want to say I'm a business owner, but you realize these things. They charge 3% those transactions.
I get it.
I'd like to keep all the money. So if you can bring your checkbook and you're coming, that'd be really helpful. We are literally raffling off. Little tease, because we'll see how it goes tonight. We're raffling off a signed Patrick Mahomes jersey.
My God.
And that is just one part of the auction.
That's pretty tough. I think I know where you probably got that connection.
Not to mention all the Iowa State guys that we had one former Cyclone, we'll let those who can see it when they come to the event, gave us 6 pairs of game-worn NFL shoes.
Wow.
To auction off. Like, there's some stuff that you won't get anywhere else. So I'm getting very excited about it. It's all coming together. Kudos to everybody for signing up. And we're going to do more of these things because the reception has been great. Iowa State's been super helpful because they can be now. I think Jamie Pollard will be in attendance as well. So it'll be really, like, we're getting cooperation from everybody, which is awesome. And that's what it's going to take for Iowa State to be successful in this space.
It's great.
Look forward to seeing you all out there.
Yeah.
But the event will be available. Like I said, I will have that link up tomorrow. Look for my Twitter. It'll be $25. And then we will send you a link after the fact. I just ask that you don't just share it.
Correct. That's stealing.
That's stealing. We don't have a more sophisticated way. But if you know what?
It's literally stealing from a charity.
We are a charity. Just... If you can afford the $25, I think you will enjoy the content
and it's tax write off.
You're gonna do you're gonna get into Cam a little bit. This isn't some softballs with
Chris
Williams.
I'm tired of the Campbell softballs.
ready, Matt.
You got the wrong MC if you're just wanting I'm not kidding. We haven't heard from Matt.
No.
The only thing we've heard from Matt since the end of the season is press releases.
Yeah, hopefully he shows up.
He better. I'm going to bring it, brother. I'm going to wear my Stone Cold Steve Austin t-shirt and come after his ass.
I hope he hears this.
I'm sure somebody will relate it to him. It'll be a fun night. I'm just a little nervous for how classy this is going to be. It just makes me uncomfortable.
It's Iowa State. You'll be fine.
I'm just kidding. This toast place is legit.
We're going to have some Cody Rhodes special drinks.
Yeah, we're going to have special Cody Rhodes old fashions. That they're making there. No, I'm not. It's not a big uppity. My point is that this place is legit.
Yeah,
it's a really, really cool event.
Honestly, guys, it's for Iowa State, this is going to be one of our annual. We're going to help to make this an annual thing. And if we can raise a lot of money at this thing, it means a couple things. One, it's money is good in this thing. Okay, we're not denying it. It helps. But if you can do this in front of the coaches and the players who are going to be in attendance, I think it shows them as well. We're all behind you type of thing.
No doubt.
So it's two pronged. It's great that we can raise some money and that's a positive, but to show some support for them all in the room with their spouses, as these coaches like a Nate Shieldhouse, who's a rock star, has more opportunities going forward saying, hey, we can get this done right here in Central Iowa.
I want to thank our friends at Wiffles Hybrids for their sponsorship of our Big 12 segment every week here on the Williams and Bloom podcast. Visit wiffles.com, WYFFELS.com. One thing, there's a lot that I love about this company, but one, they are fiercely independent and they're not afraid to tell you about it, which is cool. But they also focus solely and intensely, is what they say, on corn, which is really unique. They're not trying to spread themselves too thin. It's just a really interesting company. The more I've learned about it, you've got great Wiffles Hybrids reps all over our great state of Iowa. And if you're one of those great farmers out there, we appreciate you. We hope that we entertain you here on the podcast. You should check out our friends at Wiffles Hybrids. Let's do the Big 12 segment quickly. As an eventful Monday night matchup with Baylor at Texas.
Yeah. Why are they on at the same time? God bless it anyway.
It's so stupid.
Quit showing the Big 12 games at the same time. It's not necessary. And it really bugs me. Okay.
It really is offending.
We're going to do this. If you want to find the sacks, that's great. But we have updated Big 12 regular season odds that you probably haven't even looked at yet.
No, I haven't.
And this, we're reversing roles here.
Okay.
Let's see if you can nail the top 10 best odds to win the Big 12 regular season.
Okay, so I'm going to start at the bottom, and I'll work my way to the top. How about that? Hold on. Can I pull up the standings just so I can have the teams?
Yeah.
Texas Tech is the least highest odds.
Yep. They and West Virginia are tied at basically non-factors. It's like a billion to one, basically.
Okay, and then it's Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma is 50,000 to one. Oklahoma State is 25,000 to one.
Okay. And this is where all the teams are in the top
50. This is where it gets fun, man. It's a six-way race.
Shit. Mother of pearls. I mean, is Iowa State next?
No.
Is TCU?
No.
Texas?
No.
Baylor?
Yep. Baylor's 6.5 to 1.
See,
right
I
now.
Think Baylor's I'd like s- a good sne- s-
yeah.
sleeper pick.
I said
right
it
now.
Last week, and they made me look
that
good.
That would be okay. And then Iowa State?
Nope.
Kansas State?
Nope.
TCU?
TCU 6-1.
Okay. Iowa State and Kansas State got to be 5-1.
Nope.
4-1.
K-State's 4-1.
Iowa State 3-1.
Iowa State is second best odds, better than
Shut
Texas
up.
Now.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Texas 380. Iowa State 350.
Are they better than I think they are?
That's what I'm saying. Like, when we, Iowa State's second best odds to win the conference right now.
That's insane.
And we got some throwing a pity party about game yesterday.
Oh, that.
Forget about the pity
shut
party.
Shut up. Stop your pity
3.5-1 to win the conference. Kansas is only better at 275.
Isn't it funny how, like, just throughout the year, expectations change and people become babies? It's like, God.
But to get it, second best odds to win the conference. And it was last Sunday.
Baylor's the best bet there.
I
what the hell is wrong with TCU?
Oh, they're so spacey.
They're so inconsistent.
I don't get it.
But when they're good, they're the best team in the conference. Like, when they're on, they are the best team in the Big 12. But they're on, like, one out of every three games.
Unbelievable. That was a bad loss. I don't think Mississippi State's very good. And they, anyway. So, yeah, Iowa State, second best. And it's almost head-to-head then.
I'm still not a believer in Texas either.
I am not at all.
I'm selling that stock.
I would agree with you. I mean, if I'm looking at that.
Kansas State's legit. We saw that on Tuesday.
Yeah, but I talked with Jared about this on Corner 3 on Thursday. It was the CF radio show. They are so reliant on two guys that if those two guys are not on, they're going to really have problems. Maybe those two guys can carry them all the way, that being Noel and Keontae Johnson. The reason why I like Iowa State, TCU, Baylor, and Kansas a little bit more than them is they've got 4 to 6 guys. Kansas is not surprising. They're back on top. That was a big-time win for them last night. That's as good as they have played all year. They get Wilson and Dick, and they get a little something from Adams, too. They got three guys there. So, I don't know. I do think, like I said earlier, I don't think I'm still very bullish on Iowa State.
This game, if you want to win the conference, this Texas Tech game is really important.
You got to go 2-0 this week.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, if you go 2-0 this week, that number, C-Dub, it flips Iowa State and Kansas. That Iowa State's the odds-on favorite to win the Big 12 if you go 2-0 this week.
I'm just, like, listen.
It's the biggest week of the year.
I agree with you. I'm surprised Vegas has that there right now.
I'm not blowing cyclone smoke here. I'm saying
this team's metrics,
Vegas.
They're so much better than like Kansas State. They're so much better than Baylor. They're so much better than TCU.
And they've already won on the road.
Vegas is going off of the numbers. So, like, according to that, yeah, I mean, I guess I get it.
It's so still exciting times. Iowa State has not won a Big 12 regular season since 2001.
Incredible.
So we're almost halfway through a huge week. Big week.
Gotta get Caleb healthy. Gotta get him.
Yeah, I know. It all goes hand in hand, and then you're gonna have to rebring Jazz back into the conversation. What does that mean? It's not gonna be easy.
No.
Good or bad.
All right. Shorter pod this week. We are going to get to watching some Brock Purdy.
Let's go, Brock. Do you feel like he's been stolen from us by the national media?
No, he's ours.
Okay. It just feels like we don't even need to talk about him anymore because everybody else is.
Oh, I get what you mean. Yeah, but he's still our child.
He is.
Yeah, he's still
like
ours.
He's just gone on to
the 49ers would dump him
things.
In a second. We'll never dump him. He's Brent Bloom. I'm Chris Williams. Monday game, I'll have reaction immediately following that one in Lubbock. So if you voted devouring delicious sins.